I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. We began a new series last week about the family, families that glorify God. And that's kind of what we've had before us all year, is that we are here for His glory. He saves us for His glory. We exist for His glory. This church is here for His glory. And we want to have families that glorify God. Last week, we saw the importance of having a biblical foundation, that we want to build our house on the rock. And of course, that rock is Jesus, but then we continue on in His Word. And God used and chose a man named Abraham because He knew him, that he would follow His commandments, and He would teach his family and his household to follow His commandments. And it's absolutely vital that we are in the Word of God every day together as a family. Let me give you one more chance, okay? It is absolutely vital that we are in the Word of God together every day as a family. Amen. I can't stress that enough. You see, a lot of people are very confused in our nation today. A lot of people are confused in Christianity today, and it's because they're listening to all the voices around except for the one voice that matters, and that's the voice of God Himself in His Word. You see, when I stand behind this pulpit, my desire is not for you to take my word for it, but to hear and understand the Word of God. I want to do like they did in Nehemiah's day. I want to open up the Word of God, and I want to read in the Word of God distinctly, and I want to give the sense of it and help you to understand what the Word of God means. That's my purpose in preaching. That's what preaching is for. It's not about my word. It's about His Word. And so we want to learn today about the family, in particular marriage. Marriage is the creation of a family. Children are the continuation. Now, many times people today will say, we're thinking about starting a family. And what they mean is, we're thinking about having children. But I want you to know that the family really began in the garden when God made a woman for the man. Amen. That's when family began. Marriage is by God's design. He created it. And so we want to learn about marriage today. We're going to focus on that marriage relationship. Now, when I look among us today, we understand that where we're at in marriage relationships is very diverse in our church today. There are couples in the church this morning that have only been married once. They've been married to one another, and they've been married for many, many years. There are others in the church who have maybe they've been widowed and they've remarried. Others, one or both, have been through divorce and are remarried. We have singles in the church that are yet to marry, and some of you have that wistful longing for being married one day. Everybody say, aw. Isn't that sweet? And some of you that have been married for a while are kind of giggling about that. But you ought to remember that. You ought to remember what it was like that day you got married and how special that was. Some of you have are singles who have been through the loss of a spouse. Others may be singles who have been through a divorce. And I just want to say this from the very beginning, and I want everyone to listen carefully. This message today is not intended to rub salt in any wounds. This message is not intended to hurt anyone today. There are a lot of different relationships, and none of us can do anything about yesterday except repent. But what we can do is look into the Word of God and see what we ought to do today and in the days ahead. And I want you to understand that. A lot of times when we start having messages on the family, I'll just tell you, there are some people who won't come to church while we have messages on the family because their family isn't what we know the Bible wants us to be, what God designed the family to be. And so they don't want to hear that because it's too hard to listen to. And I just want you to know today that it doesn't, we can't do anything about yesterday, but we can do something about today. And this message is not intended to hurt anyone, but it's to help you. The heart of this message is so that all of us can know from the Word of God how we can have a marriage that glorifies God. And that's something that's possible for all of us. Amen. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And it doesn't matter what your past is. What matters is that we are obedient to the Word of God today and every day going forward. Now, you might feel picked on today. Maybe if your family situation doesn't fit the biblical pattern for what God designed family to be. Maybe you'll feel a little picked on today, but I want you to understand this today. None of our families are exactly what God designed them to be. If you have one man who's been married to one woman and you've been together for 60 years, praise God, but that doesn't mean your marriage is perfect. And there will be things in the message today that can help you. And so we want to do that. There was a young couple who had been married for 60 years, and somebody wanted to know the secret of their success. And so as they sat there at their anniversary celebration, the husband said, well, we decided in the very beginning that I would make all of the really important decisions for the family and that I would let my wife handle the minor situations. But when it came to the big decisions, I would handle those. And so that's how we've had a successful marriage, because in 60 years, we've never had a major decision. And that's the way it is for some people today. We think about marriage, we think about how it is in the beginning. And I just want to get a testimony. How many of you have been married for at least 5 years? At least 5 years. Some of you are like, 5 years. How about 10? How about 20? Where's my 30s? Been married over 30 years. We have any 40s? Keep them up. Be proud. Don't be ashamed. Put your hand up, Sister Phyllis. Anybody 50? 50 years? Praise the Lord. 60? 65? Somewhere between 60 and 65. What is it? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God for that. And how many of you that have been married at least 5 years can testify that it's a little different today, even after 5 years, than it was the first year? It's just different. It's different. And marriage changes and people changes. Sometimes husbands are, it seems to be that they're a lot more loving in the beginning than they are later. Amen. Early on in the marriage, the wife gets sick and, you know, the husband's ready to call and get an ambulance there to take him to the hospital because they got a head cold. I mean, they get a little sick and he's like, honey, why don't you just lay down and I'll bring you some soup and I'll take care of you. And he's right there by the bedside and he's there worried about her, up all night taking care of her. And as the years go by, that kind of changes until after a while. And instead of being, honey, why don't you go lay down and I'll bring you some soup, it's, would you shut up? Your cough is driving me nuts. Eat a cough drop or something. It just changes over the years. But I want to tell you today that it doesn't need to be that way. Husbands need to continue to love their wives. As a matter of fact, you ought to love your wife more now than you ever have before. Our love ought to grow. And wives ought to respect their husbands more as the years go by instead of respecting them less. Now, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says today, and some of you are not going to like it. I don't care whether you like it or not. I care whether we preach the truth and whether we're submissive to the truth. You see, most of what I'm going to preach today goes counter-culture. It doesn't fit with what the world says today. But let me help you out. The world's way will not work because God will not bless it. See, we want to figure out what God says because He's the one that created it. The Bible says from the beginning of the creation, He made them, male and female. And so we want to learn about what God has to say about marriage today. If you're able, let's look to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, and stand together to honor the Word of God this morning. We're going to read a few extra verses, but really focus in on just a handful this morning. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you bless your word today. Help me to preach by your Spirit, for I am nothing without you. I pray that you would strengthen marriages today. I pray that you would do a work in hearts to prepare young men and women to be married and to have marriages that would glorify you and be according to your word. I pray that you would strengthen families today. And I do pray for those who are unmarried, Lord, that you would give them comfort and grace today. And Lord, that they can glean things from the message today, though it may be focused on married couples, but you would help those singles today to have truths that will help their families. And Lord, just help us all to love you, to love and help one another, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Before I get into the text today, I just want to remind you that God is the one who created marriage. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 6, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And Jesus himself, by the way, as a side note, he tells me that it was at the beginning of creation when he made them male and female. And that's another good reason to understand today that this earth and this universe isn't billions and billions of years old, because on that sixth day, God made man. It's the sixth day of creation. And Jesus himself affirms it, that at the beginning of the creation, he made them male and female. And we look at God created it. He created marriage for our good and for his glory. And I want you to understand today that most people think that marriage is about their happiness, when really marriage is not about our happiness, it's about our holiness. When God created everything, he got down to when he created man, and he had been saying over and over, he created, and at the end of the day, the evening and the morning was the second day and the third day, and he kept saying, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And then he created Adam, and he said, it's not good that man should be alone. Adam was good, but he was not complete until God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. He took a rib out of his side, and he made a woman. And Adam called her Eve, and she was taken from man, and he was not complete until he had his helpmeet by his side. God made woman to complete the man. Now, we make jokes about it, and it is true, because it is funny, because it's true. When you look at any fella, you go, it's not good for him to be alone. I mean, I just look around the room today, and I think, boy, praise God that God didn't leave some of these fellas alone, because it's scary to think about. But God has made a helpmeet and to complete the man. He's the one that instituted marriage. He's the one that created marriage. We see that marriage has been corrupted in our country. A few years ago, the Supreme Court ruled that it's not just for a man and a woman. And you may think culturally that that's fine, but I'm going to tell you today, biblically, it's not okay. It's not okay. God designed marriage for one man and one woman to be joined together for life. That's his design. It's not made, and from the beginning they stayed married, and that was God's intention. We know that God gave Moses a writing of divorcement. Why? Because of the hardness of men's heart. It's not God's intention. And we understand that today. Everybody who's been through a divorce knows better than anybody else why God hates divorce. I mean, I don't know anybody in their right mind that would say, man, divorce is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. You know, I was really looking forward to my divorce when I got married. I mean, who would think that? We don't think that way. We understand that. And it's not that we're here to condemn anybody who's been through divorce. It's just that we understand that God wants marriage to last. Amen. We want that. We want that for ourselves. We want that for other people. Amen. It's a covenant. that God makes. I'm amazed sometimes how confused people can be. I was talking to somebody a while back, and I love them, and they're a dear friend of mine, but it's just people get confused sometimes. I wanted to say this as plainly as I can, that marriage is a covenant relationship. We don't use the word covenant anymore. We use the word contract. And when a man and a woman come together as husband and wife without that marriage contract, that's called adultery. Hebrews 13 tells us that in marriage, the bed is undefiled, but adulterers and adulteresses, God will judge. I told you last week, a lot of people in America today have the idea that they can live together as husband and wife. The world calls that cohabiting today. They can cohabit today, and they can live as husband and wife, and they can just do that without a marriage contract. I want you to know something today. God will not bless that. I talk to a lot of young couples who are living in that condition, and I say, listen, you need to understand something, that if you want God, I want God to bless your relationship. I want God to bless your home, but He can't bless it if you don't go according to His plan. So if you want to be with someone and you want to live with them as husband and wife, let me help you. God has given a great plan. It's called marriage. You get married to them. And I want to help some of you young ladies out. Because it seems to be the young ladies who are kind of taken advantage of sometimes. If a young man wants to have you as his wife without committing to you as your husband, you don't want that fella. He does not respect you or value you. So, if you're not married, what should you do? 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 9, verse 8 and 9. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And that burn is talking about burning in your lusts. It's better. God's made a way for you. If you're not married and you want to be with somebody, then marry them. Amen? It's not complicated. God's made a great plan. Marriage is a wonderful thing. Some of you fellows could have said that a little louder. If you're married, what should you do? How should we live day by day? Well, we've already seen that we should have a lifelong commitment. Jesus said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. But let me just give you a few things today that will help us. Number one, for our marriage to glorify God, we need to respect our spouse. Respect your spouse. In 1 Peter 3, in verse 1, we read, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Be in subjection to your own husbands. And then he says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. For a marriage to work, there has to be mutual respect. A wife has to respect and reverence her husband, and a husband has to love and honor his wife. That's mutual respect. And some of you guys love Ephesians chapter 5. As a matter of fact, if you'll kind of hold your place there and look at Ephesians 5 as well. I heard one preacher that when he was a young man and his family was just getting, they'd been married and had a kid and a couple of kids, and they were having family devotions. He said, I just camped out on Ephesians 5:23 for a while. He said, I was a young man. I wanted to establish the order in the home. And so he sat down and he said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And he says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. He said, I really just wanted to camp out on those verses for a while and forget the verses around it. But I'd like to not do that this morning. I'd like to back up a little bit, all the way back to verse 18. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Before God ever tells a wife to submit to a husband, He tells all of us to submit to each other. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Let not any man think more highly than he ought to think. And then he says, wives, in verse 22, submit yourselves as unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. But it begins with a submission to one another. There has to be mutual respect. And a husband should respect and be submissive to his wife. And a wife should respect and be submissive to her husband. Now, I know that women in our world today don't like this, and some of you young ladies, especially here today, may not like it. Some of you not so young ladies here today may not like it. But the Bible says plainly that a wife is to be submitted to her husband, that she's to be in subjection to her husband. And why is that? Well, because God made Adam first, and then He made Eve. Do you know that's the qualification that God always gives when this question comes up? Well, preacher, you don't know my husband. You don't understand what he's like. If I left the decisions up to him, there's no telling what kind of a mess we would be in. And I've heard all the excuses, and you can be making them in your head right now, but you can't excuse this. God said to submit to your husband. He didn't qualify it. He didn't say be in subjection to your own husband unless he's a moron. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that unless anything. As a matter of fact, it actually says back in our text that a woman's supposed to be in subjection to her husband even if he's a lost man. Did you see it? You see, it's not about a man being better than a woman or smarter than a woman, because we know that that's most usually not the case. I figured some of the ladies would amen that. See, this isn't about a man being smarter than a woman or better than a woman or even more spiritual than a woman. It's just simply the fact that God has set the order of the home, that Christ is the head of the man and the man is the head of the woman. That's the way it is. That's the way God designed it. And there needs to be an order. You can't have two captains of the same ship, and you can't have two heads of the same household. You know, we talk about all the jokes, but the sad thing is, these jokes aren't really funny. The man says, I'm the one that wears the pants in my family. My wife just tells me which ones to wear. He may be the head of the home, but I'm the neck, and I turn that head whichever way I want it to go. And you know why those are funny to us? Because too many times they're true. And this morning you may think that stuff's cute and funny, and they are funny jokes, but when it's a reality, it's not funny at all. What you have done is turned upside down God's design for the family, and it will not glorify God. So what do you do, dear lady? What if you did marry a moron, like my wife did? What if you married a guy and he's not a Christian? You shouldn't have married him in the first place, but you did. And now you've entered into this vow, and you've made a promise before God and a covenant before God which cannot be broken honorably in the sight of God except by death. What are we going to do? I mean, what are we to do if you're a lady and you're married to a guy and he's really not leading the home to follow Christ, and he's not a godly man, and maybe he doesn't make very good decisions? What do? You submit to him. You be in subjection to him. You say, well, that's crazy. I'm going to ruin my life. No, you're going to trust God to take care of the problem. Amen. You see, when you keep trying to assert your authority over your husbands, you're trying to take control of the situation instead of leaving it in God's control where it belongs. Amen. You may think that you can fix your husband, but you can't fix him like God can fix him. See, it always comes down to a matter of pride versus faith. If you're prideful and you don't believe, you'll try to assert your authority and you won't be in subjection to your husband. But if you will humble yourself and believe and trust God, then you'll be in subjection to your husband and God will take care of the problem. Respect your spouse. Respect is one of the greatest things that a man needs today. Some of you guys are big, burly, tough guys, and you never shed a tear. You almost cried once, but you made that tear get back in there. Some of you guys are tough, and nobody tells you what to do, and all of those different things. But I want to tell you today that we need to learn to respect our wives, to honor them. That means to ascribe worth to them. See, a lot of families have a lot of problems. Let me just take a quick poll. How many of you have ever had trouble in your marriage? Put your hand up, sweetheart. It's okay. Things aren't always great, are they? And usually it comes down to unmet expectations. It comes down to things not being what you thought they would be. I mean, let's just rewind. How many of you can remember your wedding day? Fellas, how many of you can remember what it was like standing up front when the doors opened and you saw her for the first time that day? Can you remember that? Man, wasn't it awesome? You better say amen, you big dummies. Come on! You're not doing yourselves any favors today. Man, I'm going to tell you, I'm a big baby anyway, but I was so happy when the doors opened, Melissa came walking in. I mean, that thrill in my heart, I almost cried, but I told that tear to get back in there. I didn't want Steve laughing at me, making fun of me. But it was such a joyous day. It was so great. Our family and our friends were there, and man, I'd been looking forward to that day for a long, long time. It took a long time to convince her to marry me, Brother Bill. I don't know. I told somebody the other day she doesn't know what she did to deserve me, and she's been praying about that a lot lately. We remember that day, we remember the joy and the excitement, but you think when you get married that it's just going to be days of bliss after bliss after bliss, and it's going to be wonderful and exciting, and then reality comes, and for some reason it's not always like you thought it was going to be. Amen? Amen? And you go, what happened? And there's going to be one day when she's going to wake up and look at you and go, what did I do? Amen. And there's going to be days you're going to wake up and look at her and go, what have I done? And I'm just trying to tell you that sometimes you get to this place where you lose that respect for each other. There was a lady who was having a lot of problems in her marriage. She had gone to a counselor and was trying to get some help for her marriage. And she was with the counselor alone, and she said, she was just telling all the things that were wrong with him. And the counselor said, it sounds like you don't respect him. And she said, no, I don't have any respect for him. He's an idiot. And the counselor said something very wise. What would you do if you did respect him? She said, I don't know. I've never thought about that. She said, no, seriously, how would you act different towards him if you respected him? How would you treat him differently? What would you do for him if you respected him? And she started to think about it. And the counselor said, I want you to go home and do that. Set a period of time and go home and do that. You treat him like you respect him. And so she did, kind of begrudgingly, but she did. She started to act differently towards her husband and treated him with respect and treated him as though she did respect him. And you know what happened? He noticed the way she changed in the way that she treated him, and that made him change. It gave him a desire to deserve that treatment, to earn that respect that she was showing. And their marriage not only lasted, but it was strengthened, and God blessed it. You see, you need to be obedient to the word of God. You say, my husband doesn't deserve my respect. Or you say, my wife doesn't deserve that honor. But you obey the word of God. Treat them with respect. Treat them with love and with honor. And it will amaze you how God will change your marriage. Amen. You see, that's not just some psychobabble, some psychologist trick. That's doing what the word of God says. Amen. Respect him. Submit to him. Be in subjection to him and see how it changes his heart. Love her. Honor her. Respect her and see how God changes her heart. It just comes down to being obedient to the word of God. Men need respect. They need reassurance. And women need respect and they need to be pursued. Fellas, you ought to love your wife. There's this thing that we spend so much time trying to pursue them until we catch them and then we're done with them. And friends, it ought not to be so. We ought to pursue our wives and show our love and affection to them regularly so that they know that they are loved. It's an amazing thing. I look at this congregation today. As far as I'm concerned, this is the cream of the crop. You guys are some of the best people in the United States of America and the world for that matter. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're part of his church. You're here trying to learn and grow in his word today. But even in this group of people, it would amaze you how many of you are so insecure today. You're insecure in all of your relationships, especially your marriage. And friends, that's not okay. My wife should never be insecure about how I'm committed to her and how I love her. And your spouse shouldn't be insecure about that either. I want to go back real quickly to Ephesians chapter 5, if we could, in verse 18. The first thing we need to do to have a family that glorifies God, a marriage that glorifies God, is respect our spouse. The second thing we need to do is rely on the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, we read, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And I don't think it's a coincidence, because the Spirit of God wrote this, inspired this writing, that this is at the beginning of this passage on the husband and the wife. Your marriage will never be what it can be for God on your own power. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit of God every day. We've got to pray in the Spirit, and we've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to be filled with the Spirit. We've got to be careful not to grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit. All of those commandments regarding the Spirit are essential for our personal daily walk, and they are absolutely vital for our marriage. Show me a marriage that's having trouble, and I'll show a marriage that is not walking in the Spirit, not filled with the Spirit of God. This being filled with the Spirit is... This Greek word indicates it's a present and a continual action. It's something that we need to do every single day. It's not a one-time, mystical, really weird, hokey kind of event that happens. It's every day. You yield to God, you die to self, and you live for Him. You get rid of anything that's in your life, in your heart, in your mind that doesn't belong, and you let God fill you up with His Holy Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit isn't so much about you getting more of Him. It's about Him getting more of you. You give your life to Him and He fills you up. And we need some husbands who are filled with the Spirit of God. We need some men who are filled with the Spirit of God. Well, where does that come from? Well, it comes, men, from getting on your knees every day and saying, "God, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I want you to strengthen my marriage. I want you to help my marriage. I want to be the man you want me to be. I want our marriage to be what you want it to be. I want to be an example to my children, and I want to raise them up in the right way, and I want to serve you faithfully in the church." And you can't do that on your own. You can't do that if all you're filled up with is a sports channel. The sports animal is not going to fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. If all you're getting is the sports animal and you're not getting the Word of God, you're not going to grow in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Oh, some of you guys didn't like that. I told you at the beginning, I don't care whether you like it or not. You guys spend all your time watching Sports Center and all your time in the truck listening to the sports animal. You're not growing in the Spirit. Oh, so you're saying I can't ever watch sports? No, that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying some of you guys get consumed with it. Some of you guys spend all your time with your phone looking at hunting stuff and looking at boating and fishing and all the rest of it, and you spend all your time, you're consumed with it. And when's the last time you read your Bible? And I just can't understand why my marriage isn't what God wants it to be. I got some advice for you fellas today. You ought to get serious about your relationship with Christ. If you don't, your marriage is in danger. You know, a lot of marriages are only lasting today because of some women who are faithful enough not to leave a man who's a deadbeat. And thank God for women who are faithful enough not to leave a deadbeat. We need some women today who are filled with the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, it's getting harder and harder to keep yourself filled with the Spirit of God because we have so much filling us up today. Ironically, I saw a post on Facebook that said, how many of you have a Bible app on your phone? How much time do you spend on Facebook rather than in your Bible app? Like I said, I thought it was ironic that that was on Facebook. But, you know, the reality is a lot of you guys have that stuff on your phone and you'll spend hours and hours and hours scrolling through and it's mind-numbing. I've fallen into that trap too many times. And all the while, we've got the Word of God right there. And how much time have we spent in the Word? Ladies, we need some wives that are filled with the Spirit of God, some wives who will get on their knees every day and pray for themselves and pray for their husbands and spend time in the Word of God and seek God's guidance and wisdom to become the woman that God wants them to be. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God, and it's not going to happen with the influences of the world. It's only going to happen through the Word of God. I don't hate sports. I don't hate hunting or fishing. I don't even completely hate Facebook, just mostly. But all of those things that keep us from being filled with the Spirit, we need to get them out of the way. He says, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hey, listen, there ought to be a song in your heart. There ought to be joy in your home. Let me give you one of the indications that you're walking in the Spirit, that you're filled with the Spirit. There is joy and worship in your home. You're singing a song of praise to God. You're speaking to yourself. You just got a song in your heart. If you don't have a song in your heart today, maybe you're not filled with the Spirit of God. And then verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know if the Spirit is in your home, there will be singing and joy and there will be thankfulness. Fellas, when we sit down to dinner and our wife has made us a meal and we sit down with the family around that meal and all you can do is complain about what's wrong with the meal instead of giving thanks that there is a meal and your wife cared enough to put it together, there's a problem. I'm preaching to myself because I am a negative person. I told you that many times. When the glass is there and it's half, it's always half empty. Actually, probably a little bit more. That's my natural tendency. I see what's wrong with everything. And that's not good. That's not spiritual. That's not walking in the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, it changes your heart and you have a gratefulness to God. Man, maybe the chicken was a little bit burnt, but there was chicken. And my wife fixed it. And my wife and my children are sitting around the table, and this is good. The chicken wasn't burnt. That was just an example. We've got to respect our spouse. We've got to rely on the Spirit. And we've got to remain in our station. I want you to go back to our text. And again, we're kind of bouncing back and forth here between Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 3. Verse 1 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word they may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wise. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, a lost husband can be won by his wife when she stays in her place as in subjection to her husband, and she has a chaste conversation. She has a pure lifestyle with the fear of God. Verse 3 says, his adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is corruptible, even which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Ladies, and let me help you out, especially you young ladies, your value is not found in the way you look on the outside. Your value to God is found in the way you look on the inside. In a quiet and meek spirit. He says a meek and a quiet spirit in your hidden heart is of in the sight of God of great price. Ladies, you spend way too much time worried about how you look on the outside. Amen? He says, your adorning, your what you put on every day, you shouldn't be concerned with your hair or your jewelry or your clothes, but you ought to be concerned with your heart. We live in a world today that women are supposed to roar. Anybody else hear that? I am woman, hear me roar. I've seen the shirts. Some of you ladies may have one of the shirts. But my Bible says that God values a woman who has a meek and quiet spirit. It takes a lot more inner strength to be meek and quiet than it does to open your mouth and make a lot of noise. Verse 5 goes on to say, for after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. He said, look, and I love this. This is almost 2,000 years ago. He's got to point back to a couple thousand years before that and say, the women used to be in subjection to their husbands. Fast forward to 2018. I wonder what we say now. You remember how the women used to be in subjection to their husbands 50 years ago? That was nothing compared to how they were to their husbands 2,000 years ago, which is really nothing to compare how they were 2,000 years before that. What I'm telling you is that Peter's wife was in subjection to him, but probably not as well as Abraham's wife was in subjection to him. And your grandmother was probably in subjection to your grandfather, but not near as good as Peter's wife was to him. Are you guys with me right now? I think I lost some people. You go jumping around a couple thousand years, people get lost. I'm telling you today that we are so far from removed from what God's idea of a woman being in subjection to her husband is that we don't even know what it looks like anymore. Check this out. Verse 6 says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I'm not advocating, fellas, that you go home today and get out your Bible and say, all right, honey, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. I think that based on this scripture here, you should start calling me Lord. If you do that, we'll know when we see you next time. The evidence will be all over your face. What does it mean? Listen, I want you to imagine what it was like. Abraham, God speaks to him. He wakes up one morning and says, honey, we're leaving. God's called me to go somewhere. Where are we going? I don't know. When are we going? Right now. But where are we going? I don't know. God's going to tell me. Oh, hold on. So God spoke to you, and he told you to go somewhere, but you don't know where you're going, and you don't know how long we're going to go and how long we're going to be there, how we're going to get there, but we're going to go. Yes, honey, that's right. Okay, I'll start packing. That's pretty good, isn't it? You see, a wife ought to have enough respect for a husband to keep her place and understand her station. See, we don't even like that. When I was putting together this outline, I thought some people aren't going to even like that point. Remain in your station. We don't like that. I don't have a station. I can rise above. I'm better than that. But here it is. A wife is to be in subjection to her husband. That's her place. Doesn't mean that she's inferior in any way. It just means that's her role. Amen. Fellas, we need to keep our place too. Amen. We're to be the head of the home. Do you know why a lot of women usurp authority over their husbands? Because their husbands exercise no authority. Their husbands are deadbeats who are too lazy to lead their family in the right way. They're too lazy to pray and study their Bible. They're too lazy to seek God's face in which direction He wants them to go. They're too lazy to take responsibility. And so because they won't do what God's called them to do, the woman has to do something. But you say, well, the woman, she's wrong for taking his place. Yeah, but guess who's going to answer to God for that one day? Well, they both are, but especially him, because his role was to be the head of the home, to lead the family. To submit himself to Christ, to put himself fully under Christ's authority, to understand that every part of his life is under Christ's command, and everything that I do, I have to run through him because he is my king. Jesus is my king. I follow him. He is my head. He's the one that leads me in every way that I go, and it's my responsibility to make sure that I'm keeping myself and my family under the Lord's control. And when I fail to do that, I fail my family. We've got to remain in our station. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Likewise, ye husbands, verse 7, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I've got to remain in my place under Christ and over my family. My wife has to remain in her place under me and over our children. And our children have to remain in their place under their parents' authority. Here in a week or so, Lord willing, we're going to start learning a little bit about parenting. Parenting in our country today is terrifying. What's popular in our country today and popular in parenting today is so unbiblical. It's terrifying. But we'll never be the parents that we need to be if our marriage relationship isn't what it needs to be. Amen. This morning, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. And as they're coming, I just want to ask you, where are you at today? Some singles here, never been married, hoping to be married one day. Do you want to have the kind of marriage that God will bless? The kind of marriage that glorifies Him? You know, He created it, so you might want to consider getting in His Word to figure out how that marriage ought to be done. We've got some families here that have been through divorce and remarriage, and that brings all kinds of difficulties with it. But God can help you through. We can't change yesterday, but we can be faithful to Him today. And you don't live under the burden of guilt for yesterday, because if you repent of that, God, He takes it away. And you just concentrate on doing what God's called you to today. We praise God for those of you that have been married to the same person for many years. 62 years. Praise the Lord. I don't even know if I'll live to be 62. But if I do, I pray that God would help me to be a faithful husband to the day I die. Here's the point of decision. Everyone here, our families, our marriages need help. And as we stand together right now, I just want to invite you to come. Ask God for wisdom as you look towards marriage. Ask God for grace and strength to help your marriage today. We need respect. We need to rely on the Spirit of God. We need to remain in the place where God put us. And we need to stay in the Word of God as a family. If He's convicting your heart this morning, would you come right now while we sing?
Page 5.